We're back with Julia, the Queen of Clubs.
By late 1979, it seemed that perhaps finally father and son were going to move beyond the hurt and anger of the past and forge the relationship that each so desperately wanted.
Yeah, there was a hint that we were getting closer. Mm.
But John Lennon was on an irreversible collision course with history. On the evening of December 8th, 1980, 17-year-old Julian Lennon went to bed at his home in the north of Wales, only to be startled out of a deep sleep in the middle of the night.
I woke up and felt that there was something wrong. And couldn't put my finger on it, but felt something was bad. Something had happened.
When Julian went downstairs that morning, the house was dark and quiet. Julian tried desperately to calm his growing fears.
All the curtains were drawn in the house. I looked out and I saw hundreds, if not thousands, of cameramen, reporters, you name it, photographers.
At the time, Cynthia was in London visiting Maureen Starkey, ex-wife of Ringo Starr.
About 3 or 4 in the morning, Maureen comes screaming up the stairs saying John's been shot.
Back in Wales, Julian's stepdad told him the grim news. A deranged fan named Mark David Chapman had murdered his father in cold blood as John returned to the Dakota building after a long night of recording. Horrified by the news of his father's death, Julian at first refused to believe it.
Tell me, is this really happening? You know, because it was just too whacked out to, you know, seem real to me. I ranted and raved a little bit. Many tears came out.
In a state of shock, Cynthia rushed home to be with Julian.
It was just so horrific. And Julian came and sat on my knee and we both sobbed. You know, as simple as that.
Though he was devastated, Julian made a brave and emotionally wrenching decision. He would go to New York alone and pay his respects to his fallen father.
I felt I had to go to New York to see it for myself. You know, I had to witness it to understand what had happened.
A few hours later, 17-year-old Julian boarded a flight to America without his mother. In New York, the scene was bedlam.
Yo!
When a distraught Julian arrived at the Dakota building, he was faced with swarming media and an indescribable scene of mourning.
To enter the building, he has to step over the area, which was still a crime scene, meaning it was preserved by the police. He had to step over his father's blood. He had to step over the broken glass. He had to hear the sounds of thousands of children singing his father's songs outside in this uncontrollable, traumatic, emotional state. What could he have felt? I mean, my heart just went out to him.
I remember arriving at the Dakota, and a lot of the people that were working for Dad and Yoko at that time were warning me, saying be very careful of what might happen to his memory, his estate, etc., etc., etc. And then eventually I got to see her, and she wanted to take me down to see his body. And I said, no thanks, I don't want to do that. And then she showed me what happened, where it happened, which was pretty weird. And then the last thing I remember at that point in time was she had his cremated, you know, ashes in an urn on the mantelpiece in her bedroom, which was still warm. That was even stranger.
If she said to him, do you want to see the body? If she said to him, do you want to see the place where he was shot? I could picture Yoko just wanting to share, just wanting to be honest. And of course, if Julian was offended, I'm sorry he was. We were all offended, but it had little to do with protocol and a great deal to do with bullets.
The following weeks passed in a haze of grief and sadness. The world mourned John's passing along with Julian, but perhaps no one felt John's absence as much as the son who had never gotten to know him.
He was no longer innocent. And life would never be the way it once was. And whatever the dreams may have been to form a union between father and son could never be.
You won't die alone tonight.
In December of 1980, the violent death of John Lennon cast a dark shadow over the world. His murderer, a Disturbed fan named Mark David Chapman, was arrested and given a prison sentence of 20 years to life. But the grief triggered by John's death would never be forgotten, and the echoes of the tragedy would resonate for years to come, especially in the life of John's sensitive firstborn son, Julian.
When we lost John, Julian suddenly got granny glasses and let his hair grow, because that's an identity crisis. He didn't know where on earth he was going, what he was doing or anything.